We've been going through things about God. What is God like? Well, God is eternal. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He is therefore unchanging. He is eternal. He does, and so on. And now we've come to this today's sermon. I'm going to concentrate on another couple of things. God is wise. God is wise. Not only is God all-knowing, but God is virtually wise, all-wise. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul makes this quick ending statement in verse 27, Romans 16, verse 27, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. Amen. Well, look, you go over here to Dagon or to Moloch or one of these, or Baal, are they wise? No, nobody ever claims they're wise. They don't talk, they don't speak, they don't give you any advice, they don't tell you what to do. Their so-called prophets get up there, the prophets of Baal, go, you know, then they make up an idea, but they don't tell you, they don't communicate. God, our God is knowable, our God communicates. He communicates mostly through his word, but he's communicated through dreams and so on, through his prophets, many ways in which God communicates. In the book of Job, Job chapter 9, Job says, if one wished to dispute with him, how can I dispute with God? If one wished to dispute with him, he could not answer him once in 1,000 times. How are you going to debate with God? Wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has defied him without harm? You can't go up to God and debate God or fight against God. Wise in heart. God's wisdom. God's wisdom is everywhere. And here we have in Job chapter 12, verses 12 and verse 12 and 13, wisdom is with aged men, with long life understanding. Now, it's supposed to be, but there are old fools. Wisdom should be with aged men, as the older you get. Now, why is wisdom coming with us? Well, you learn lessons. You go through things, you make mistakes, you learn lessons. This is shouldn't have done that. I'm wiser now. I know that doesn't work now. I know this doesn't. I know that's not always the way it seems. You learn a lot of things as you get older. So age increases, or should, our wisdom. It's likely to increase our wisdom. And that's good. And it should increase our wisdom. Okay? So wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. But listen in verse 13, with him, meaning God, are wisdom and might. To him belong counsel and understanding. God will give counsel and understanding. God is all wise. Listen to Psalm 104, Psalm 104 and verse 24. O eternal, O Yahweh, how many are your works in wisdom? You have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. How many are your works in wisdom? If you know anything about creation, if you study the human body, if you study the way the planets go, if you study, as Dr. Don Carruthers has presented several times at our festival, one of the seminars that he presents is why the earth, how can we have life on the earth? How many things does it take? The electromagnetic fields of the earth, if we wouldn't exist if those weren't in place. And our atmosphere that protects us as human beings and life on this earth, we wouldn't have any life if we didn't have the atmosphere, this air that we breathe all the time. Yes, we need it for breathing, but it also protects us from things coming into our planet. shooting stars and things that, you know, all the stardust that comes down from the sky, all these plant, all these little meteors or something, and they burn up before they can hurt anybody. You don't have much news about that. You have murders. That's on the news, but you don't have much news about meteors coming in and hurting anybody because they burned up before they get here. Yes, how many are your works in wisdom? As I mentioned in the announcement portion, the wonderful things that God has placed in these fruits and vegetables for our health, for our well-being. Just, it's incredible. He has so much wisdom. God has so much wisdom that he's actually willing to give it away. He's actually willing to give us wisdom. This is what James 1, verse 5 says. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. If you say, you know, God, I lack wisdom. Now, once you say that, you have admitted something. You need wisdom. And you ask God for it, and then you go and look for it. You hunt, also hunt for it. God will give it to you. God will lead you to wisdom if you ask for it, okay? So here it is. If any man lacks wisdom, this is James 1, the book of James in the New Testament, James 1 and verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. God doesn't say, well, you know, he make fun of you and reproach you. Oh, yeah, you dummy, you finally asked for wisdom. He doesn't do that. He'll just give it to you. But you've got to also seek it, and it will be given to him. See, he will give without reproach, and it will be given to him. God will give you wisdom if you admit you need it, because once you admit you need it, you will also be looking for it. I need the wrench. I need this kind of a bolt, a screw. You'll be looking for it. You might ask God to give it to you, but you'll be looking for it. In Psalm 19, this beautiful Psalm 19 verse, I'm going to start in verse 7. The law of the eternal is perfect. Now, the word law here, and when we think of law, we think of commands. We think of rules that if you break it, you're going to be go to jail or something. And we're often thinking of law as don't do this and don't do that and do this. And, you know, that's how we think in terms. We think of law like the policeman and all that. But the law here is the word Torah, the Hebrew word Torah. Torah has to do with instruction, a direction for your life. The law of the eternal, the Torah of the eternal is perfect, whole, complete, whole. Listen to what it does, the Torah of the eternal. That's God's instruction, God's way. God's not teaching you his way. Restoring the soul. Restoring the soul. See, the Torah of the eternal is perfect, restoring your soul, showing you what to do, enriching your being, your whole nefesh, your whole being. The testimony of the eternal, of the Yahweh, the Yehovah, is sure. God's testimony. When God makes a statement, do you think it's unsure? It's sure. Making wise the simple. You know how much wisdom you can get just from reading the Torah, reading the books of the Bible, reading the books of the law, of the judgments. You know, don't do this, do this, and some of them, and the way it's set up for proper judgment. You know, you dig a pit, you should have to put something to warn people, and if somebody else's ox falls in the pit, you got to pay for it if you didn't warn them. You can't just leave things uncovered where somebody gets hurt. There's a responsibility, and you get wisdom from these precepts. Verse 8, The precepts of the eternal are right, rejoicing the heart. If you read those precepts, you're going to have joy in you, happiness in you. The commandment, now we get into a commandment, okay? The commandment of the eternal is pure, enlightening the eyes. Oh, wow, I didn't know we're supposed to do that. That enlightens your eyes. Your brain will come alive. You're going to be alive. The fear of of Yahweh is clean. It's the right thing. It's clean. You won't dirty it up if you fear the eternal. Enduring forever. The judgments of the eternal are true. They are righteous altogether. Think of how much wisdom you get from all this, okay? Making wise the simple. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise. Then there's now verse 10. They are more desirable. All of these things. Look at this. Okay. God's Torah, God's testimony, God's precepts, God's commandment, God's fear, God's judgments. Okay. They are more desirable than gold. Yes. Than fine gold. You know, fine, it's even refined better. That's not, it has any pollutants in it whatsoever. Sweeter also than honey. And the drippings of the honeycomb, sweeter. They're sweeter. When you get those things, they enrich your soul, your being. They're so sweet and so wonderful. I don't mean caloric. I don't mean they're going to cause you diabetes. No. They're just sweeter. It just tastes good when you get those. Moreover, listen to this. By them, your servant is warned. To keeping them, there is great reward. You will never go wrong finding the listening to the Torah, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, the fear, the judgments. Of the eternal. You never go wrong. You will be enriched by them. Your life will be better off and fuller by them. Now in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, God, here's Paul astounded as God's wisdom, how God had set everything up. Why is there sin? Why did the Israelites go off the track? Why did they not, many of the Jews did not accept Jesus? Why? You know, and Paul's trying to figure all this out. In chapter 11, he finally comes down to it, what God is doing. For God, he realized, verse 32, this is chapter 11 of Romans. It's a very significant verse. For God has shut up all in disobedience. It's virtually impossible for anyone, and the Bible talks about this, there is no man that doesn't sin, no human, no woman, no woman, no child, no man, no human being that doesn't sin. All have sinned. Isn't that right? That's what the scripture says, except Jesus. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. Okay? So in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, God has shut up all in disobedience. It's just like you all are disobedient. I'm going to lock you all in that room that you're all disobedient. So that, why? He might show mercy to all. See, if you didn't sin, if you didn't need forgiveness, now, the worst part of this is that you sin and you're not recognizing you need forgiveness. You're not sorry for your sin. You're not willing to repent of your sin. You don't make apologies for your sin. You don't ask God's forgiveness. That's the worst part. The worst part is not that you sin. The worst part is that you don't understand it and you haven't recognized it and that you haven't asked forgiveness. That's the worst part. Okay? He shut up all in disobedience so that he might have mercy on them. If you ask him, he wants to have mercy on you. And then Paul talks about how, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How deep is this wisdom of God that he could let people sin, so to speak? You know, he makes it so you can't fully be here without doing something wrong. And that God then, he has all this depth of wisdom and knowledge. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. God's ways are just beyond understanding it sometimes. And then he says in verse 34, for who has known the mind of the Eternal? And who became his counselor? Just as we read in some of these Psalms and the Psalm. Who can do that? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God's working out a purpose. He's working out a purpose for your life, for my life, for the whole world, for all humans. He's working out a purpose. At the end of it all, there's going to be a huge purpose. And God is going to have mercy. He shut all of us up in disobedience that he might show mercy to all of us. Because knowing that we've done wrong is the most important thing. Proverbs 3. Now, if you want wisdom, you're going to have to search for it. You know, you're going to have to search for it. You know, even the Bible talks about even the foolishness of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "If the foolishness of God is wiser than men." Now, that always strikes me. Is there any foolishness to God? Does God have any at all foolishness? I doubt it. I don't think so. I think Paul was making a tongue-in-cheek kind of statement. He was saying, if there was such a thing as the foolishness of God, it would still be wiser than the wisest philosophers and the wisest men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. But Proverbs chapter 3 is going to tell us something. And it's dealing with my son, you know, my child. It could be a male, could be a female. My child. Do not forget my teaching. If God were saying this to you and me, he would be saying, my child, don't forget what I've taught you. But let your heart keep my commandments. Do the commands. Do what the instruction. There's a direction. I've given you a direction for your life. Let your heart keep that. For length of days and years of life. Well, one of the things used to make a tongue-in-cheek, so to speak, comment, the longer you live, the less chance you have of dying young. Yeah, it's a tautology, of course, and you're saying the same thing. My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. God's commands, God's way, God's wisdom will add years to your life. Yes. Molly died, but she was 81 and a half. A lot of people don't make it to 70 now. A lot of people have a hard time making it to 70. How many people die from cancer in their 50s, their 40s in some cases? Yes. Length of days and life and joy. Okay, and peace will they add to you. Now listen to this advice. This is wisdom. Okay, this is wisdom. Verse 3. This is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 now. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Do not let kindness. The Hebrew word here is chesed or hesed. It means your goodness, good deeds, goodness. Don't let your merciful kindness, your goodness of kindness, leave you ever, ever. You can get angry. You can get upset. You can be mad at somebody. But you must always hold to this kindness, this goodness, this way of mercy, God's merciful feelings. And don't let truth. Truth means firmness and faithfulness. Okay? Don't let truth leave you. Don't become a hypocrite. Don't become something that, you know, faithfulness that you're now giving up. I'm done. I'm mad. I'm done. I quit. I'm over. Don't let it leave you. Okay? Bind them, listen to this, bind them, bind kindness, bind them, and bind truth around your neck. You never go away without it, like a necklace you wear day and night. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Kindness, this merciful goodness, hesed. That's what God is. God is loving kindness. Loving kindness is God. And that's that particular same Hebrew root. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Yeah, you're mad. You're angry. You're upset. But you got to never let kindness and truth leave you. Your mercies and firmness and what's right and your loyalty leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And verse 4, so what will happen if you hold on to these, so you will find favor and good reputation, repute in the sight of God and man. Don't we all want that? Don't we all want to be respected by other people? Don't we all want to be respected by God? We want to know what God thinks of us. Don't we want to be there for both God and man? Don't let them leave you. This is part of wisdom. This is the wisdom teaching. You see, my son, follow my commandments. Don't forget my teaching. This is Proverbs. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the eternal with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, the way you see things, refusing to see and the views from other people's points of view. Don't lean just to your understanding. Trust God with all your heart. And if you understand God's teachings, God's commandments, God's ways, don't let it leave you. And don't lean just to your own understanding. Some people used to teach that. Don't lean to your own understanding. Listen to what this minister says or what this authority says. And so, well, only God's authority. I'd rather have my own understanding than somebody else's understanding. I want to understand it myself. So trust in God. Don't just lean on your own understanding. In other words, you have to have a point of view. You have to ask somebody else, how do you see it too? I'm not leaning on it, but I want to understand. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, I am so smart. I'm the wisest. I know what to do in all cases. No, you don't. Nobody knows what to do in all cases. Nobody has all the answers. Nobody. And if you think you do, then you've really gone off the traces. You've really gone off the rails. Fear the eternal and turn away from evil. Okay? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know it all. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You will be blessed and blessed and blessed. Do not let kindness and merciful goodness, which is merciful goodness, and truth, which is faithfulness and firmness, leave you ever. That's the wisdom. You follow those wisdom and then ask God for wisdom, and God will grant you certain insights that you will be amazed at. But you've got to search for wisdom. You've got to want it. You've got to want to be wise, and you've got to appreciate the words of the wise. Very important. Now, here's something that we don't often think of. God is good. God is wise. God is independent. God is eternal. God is all these things. But God is good. Listen to Psalm 34. Oh, and this is verses 8 and 9. Oh, taste and see that the eternal is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, you say, well, what's good mean? Well, what is good? It's good. Good. What is good? Oh, fear the eternal, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. You won't be completely out in the cold if you fear the eternal. Taste and see that the eternal is good. When you're following God's way, you're tasting of the way of life that God is good. Psalm 86 and verse 5, for you, Lord, Adonai, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness. See, God never leaves it. You're abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. God is merciful. He has this merciful kindness, his goodness. Psalm 100 in verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks and bless his name, for the eternal is good. We have a good God. Now, some people swear like that. They'll say, good God, you know, and something like that. But we have a good God. God is good. He's good to us. For the eternal is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. The very things that wisdom is telling you never to leave. Kindness and faithfulness, truth. Don't leave it. Don't get rid of it. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the eternal. Oh, give thanks to the eternal, for he is good. What if we had a bad God, a mean God, a God like to toy with us, a God that liked to ruin our lives in every aspect? What if breathing was difficult? You had to breathe, and God just made it so horrible, and that you had to eat, but no food tasted good, and it wasn't nutritious, and after you ate it, it would just make you miserable. I mean, God is good. An apple tastes good. Even cabbage to me tastes good. You develop a taste for these wonderful vegetables, and they're good, they're health-giving, and they're beneficial to you, and you're blessed to know these things. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the eternal. That's like you saw in 106. Same words. Oh, give thanks to the eternal, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. God never gets rid of his loving kindness. He never gets rid of his faithfulness, his truth. He never does. He's always loving kindness is there. You know, God's forgiveness is just wonderful. Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the eternal, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let him say that. You should say it. God's loving kindness, his covenant kindness, his mercies, his care, his goodness is everlasting. Psalm 118, now dropping down to verse 29, give thanks to the Eternal, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Just a beautiful psalm. It starts with that verse and it ends with that same verse. Psalm 135, verse 3, praise the Eternal, the ever-living God. Praise Yahweh, Yehovah, Jehovah, what name there? Praise the Eternal, for the Eternal is good. He's good. Now, what do you say is good? Something, you know what's good. We all know good from bad, don't we? This tastes good, that doesn't taste good. Oh, that smells good, that doesn't smell good. This is a good thing, that's not a good thing. Praise the Eternal, for he is good. For the Eternal is good. Sing praises to his name, for it's lovely, lovely to sing praises to God's name. God's good. He's good to you. He's good to me. He's good to the creation. I looked up on one of the palm trees the other, I think it was day before yesterday. I was sitting outside and I happened to look up on the palm tree and I saw these little rats, I guess, are up in there, squirrels or something, rodents are up in the palm trees, way up high, saving themselves from being eaten alive or something, and you see them. And I think, well, there's food up there. They're going to eat some of the palm nuts. I mean, there's food for everything. God is good. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Eternal, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. How many times in the Psalms are you going to see that phrase, God's loving kindness? Is your mercy? Do you just hold grudges? You can't get over it? Can you forgive people? You never get over it. You never get better. You just always hold a grudge. You're angry. You just hold on to the hurts in life. Life is full of hurts. We all get hurt. You've gotten hurt. I've gotten hurt. Everybody's gotten hurt. Okay? You don't go through this life not getting hurt. What do you do with it? You just hold on to it? I know people, they don't speak to their children anymore. I know people, they don't speak to their brothers or sisters. I know people that don't, I don't care. I won't ever see them again. I don't care. I'm angry. I won't. What do you do when you just hold on to it forever? You're not like God if you do. You go to God and ask forgiveness, and what does God do? You go to God and ask for wisdom. He doesn't reproach you and say, no, you're not going to have any. You're stupid. You're too stupid to have it. No, God doesn't reproach you. He said, okay, you want wisdom? You're thinking about it? You're going to search for it too? Okay. Give thanks to the Eternal, for his good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The whole book of Psalm, that Psalm 136, is just one verse after another for his loving kindness. His covenant kind. Once God is in a covenant with you, God never forgets it. Never forgets it. His hesed, his goodness. It's the same that it says here, do not let kindness, hesed, leave you. Don't let truth leave you. And God, truth and forgiveness and loving kindness has never left God, ever. For he is good. Psalm 145 and verse 8 and 9. The Eternal is gracious and merciful. Can you say that? Can we, you and I, say that about ourselves? Can you say, I'm gracious and merciful? That's how God is. You want to be like God? You have to be gracious and merciful. Slow to anger. That's how God is. Are you slow to anger, or you get angry fast? First thing that doesn't please you, somebody crosses you, you're upset, you get quick to anger. Slow to anger. Great in loving kindness. That's a Hebrew word, hesed, again. He's merciful kindness, covenant kindness. He just filled with his covenant kindness. If you're in covenant with God, you will always get his kindness. You will always get his mercy. You will always get his forgiveness. If you're in covenant with God, if you ask for it. No. If you turn away from God, you don't want his forgiveness, well, then you can't have it. I mean, he's not going to give it to you. He's not going to run over and slap it on, you know, like a burr, going to put it on your coat or something so you can't get away from it. No. You have, the Eternal is gracious and merciful. I want to be gracious. Gracious in my words. I want you, don't you want to be gracious? Gracious in, Jesus was gracious in his words. The way he taught, he was full of this grace and gracious in his words, gracious in the way he behaved. Wouldn't you just, if you went to dinner with Jesus, would he be saying, you're using the wrong fork there, you know? Well, did you wash your hands really good enough? You need to wash your hands again. I don't know. I don't think you did. You know, you're using the wrong fork. You're chewing with your mouth open a little bit there. Don't talk when you're eating. Would Jesus be nitpicking every action you did? I don't think so. He was gracious. Jesus was gracious to be with, kind. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I spilled a little bit of that wine. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, well, watch what you're doing. No, Jesus wouldn't say that. Sure, okay, just clean it up and that's fine. Gracious, kind, merciful, slow to anger, great in loving kindness. Listen to Psalm 145, verse 9. The Eternal is good to all. And his mercies are over all his works. Look around at the works of life. Look around. His mercies. You know, I have come in my older age. I see little geckos out there and I kid them, talk to them, you know, you don't have to run away. I'm not going to hurt you. You little gecko, you're going here. And I just have come to try to be at peace with the world, with nature. I want to be at peace. God is good to all. His mercies are over all his works. God's works. You see his mercies in the trees. You see his mercies in the grass. You see his mercies in the little ants that come in and clean up when you don't, if you don't clean it up. I found that one day. I left a little bit of stuff on the counter and the ants, I said, well, I don't clean it up. Somebody's going to clean it. Here they are, you know, and I'm going to clean it up. So you got to do it. His mercies are over all his works. The little prairie dogs, the coyotes, the mercies are over all his works. It's just incredible. Jeremiah 33, verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Eternal of hosts, for the Eternal is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, this is Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. For the Eternal is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And of those who bring a thank offering into the house of the Eternal, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were at first, says the Eternal. That's Jeremiah 33. People are going to come to God's house. They're going to come to the temple. They're going to say when they come, the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Eternal, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. That should be on my lips. It should be on yours. Give thanks to the Eternal for his loving kindness. He's good first. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Eternal is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation. A person waits silently for the salvation of the Eternal, for the Eternal to save you. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. You're young. Get responsibility. Teach your children responsibility. Make them do their thing, then clean up for themselves. It's good to bear responsibility in your youth. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Eternal is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. So whether it's the Psalms, or whether it's the Proverbs, or whether it's the prophets, you'll see that phrase about God's goodness. God is the ultimate standard of goodness. Jesus said, you know, why do you call me good? There is no one good except God alone. That's Luke chapter 18, verse 19. God is the ultimate standard. And therefore, James was able to say in James 1, verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. You want something good, it comes from above. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God's faithfulness, God's firmness, God's truth is there. Psalm 84, for the Eternal is a sun and a shield. The Eternal gives grace and glory. This is Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. The Eternal gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. If it's good for you. Now, some things are not good for you. God will withhold it. You know, there used to be a show called The Millionaire. Sometimes people got $1 million and did them in. It wasn't a good thing for them. God is good to us. He doesn't withhold the things that are good. O Eternal of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. That's Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? If you say, God, I want what is good for me. Would you give me what is good for me? Sometimes good for you is not necessarily, a gold Cadillac, not a Maserati. Maybe it's just other things that are good for you. Give me what is good for me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. For they, you're talking about the discipline, how our fathers, our human fathers disciplined us, you see. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. You know, you've been a father. Some of you out there, you're a father. You were a father of little boys, little girls, and you disciplined them because they interfered with what you wanted to do and they got on your nerves, you know. But listen to this. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. Let me read that in the complete Jewish Bible. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. For they disciplined us, meaning our human fathers, disciplined us only for a short time. Well, it's only a short time. You know, 20 years, 16 years, from birth to 16 or 17, next thing you know, they're 18 and on their own and so on. Yeah. For they disciplined us only for a short time, as best they could, but he disciplines us in a way that provides genuine benefit to us, and enables us to share in his holiness. He wants us to share in his holiness. You see? He does it what is profitable. He does what is profitable for us, not for his own good. When God disciplines, he's not doing it for his peace of mind. He's doing it for our good. Doing it for our good. God is good. That's why the psalmist was able to say in Psalm 73, verse 25, do I have anyone else in heaven? Is anybody else? And this is from the Common English Bible, Psalm 73, verse 25. Is there anybody else up in heaven? No, there's no one else. I'm going to look to anyone else. There is nothing on earth I desire except you. Nothing on earth, the psalmist says, I desire except God. When you come to understand God's goodness, his everlasting covenant kindness, his mercy, his truthfulness, his firmness, you will say, God is good. The eternal is good. His mercy is everlasting. Join me in prayer as we finish today's service, and we ask God to bless you and others, and then we'll end with the closing hymn. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, knowing that you are good, Jesus said there's none good but God, and he was good because he is part of you, and we want to be good. We're not intrinsically good, but we're trying to live. We're trying to have your law written in our hearts. We're trying to do those things. We want to stay with kindness and loving kindness, and we want to stay with truth and firmness, and we want to always be merciful and willing to forgive and let go of hurts and angers and resentments, which are not good for us. We want to be at peace with your creation. We want to thank you for every bite of good and nutritious food we take every day of our lives. Whether we say it out loud, whether we hold hands around a table and pray in front of people or not, we want to be thankful for every bite of good food that you give us, for all your mercies, for all the goodness that you grant for your people. And we know that you will do what is best for us. We give you thanks, and we have trust, complete trust. We trust in you with all our heart, and we bless your holy name through Jesus Christ, who made it all possible for us to know you as our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.